Hey, my name is Dave, and this is Carrier Pigeon episode number 2, and we're recording today from my room in Asbury Heights in San Francisco, California. What is Carrier Pigeon? It's a short show that's dedicated to centered around conversations about design, multimedia, and the surrounding culture associated with these type of things. What people do is they send in their questions and comments, and we talk about them here on the show. So if you have a question or comment, feel free to send it in to pigeon@oksamurai.com, and let me know what you think of the show, or if you have a question for a future episode, please feel free to send that in, and we'll try to answer it. I don't pretend or claim to be an expert on any of this stuff. It's just me blabbing, and in fact, I'm a pathological liar. You really shouldn't listen to anything that I say. But hopefully it's interesting and entertaining enough that everyone finds something to enjoy. So last time we did I tried an audio podcast, and this time trying a little video thing as well. So I've got my laptop here. So if I'm looking down, that's what I'm looking at. And got a lot of great feedback on the first episode. People seem to enjoy it, and I'll keep on trying to do these things if someone out there thinks they're interesting. So we got a lot of good stuff today. Got some questions about Flash, designer salaries, creative motivation, zombies, Mario Kart, teaching, and Harry Potter. So we've got a diverse set of stuff to talk about, so let's get right to it. First question. Hey man, why do you feel that Atlanta is the best place you've ever lived? I mean, I know you feel this way, but I guess I'm just wanting to hear you say that you miss me. No, but seriously, what do you think of Flash and its effect on the web? And this comes to us from my friend Casey from Atlanta, Georgia. So yeah, I sincerely enjoyed my time in Atlanta. It was great, and I was lucky a couple months ago I got to head back there and visit and see some familiar faces. So it's always good to see that. If you've never been there, you got to go, and you've got to check out the New World of Coke Museum and especially the Georgia Aquarium, and the Giants of the Deep exhibit especially is just fantastic. It's a great place. Definitely worth the trip. Flash, I think Flash is great. It's proven that it's nice for multimedia experiences. So you're able to take video, sound, interaction, animation, and gaming, and sort of mix all these different things together to create interesting experiences. And, you know, there's an argument out there, how should you make websites? Should it be Flash or HTML or a mixture of both? And a lot of people find Flash distracting. They say, you know, you have to wait through loading screens and animations to get to information. And sometimes I agree with that, you know, for the New York Times, you don't want to wait to read a story while letters are zooming in and exploding, and then a dragon flies by the screen and turns and says, "Roar, here's your awesome story, I hope you enjoy it." In that case, yeah, bad idea to use Flash, terrible. But I also think it's wrong to think that just one method is best. I think it's just a different type of communication experience, and you know, movies aren't just limited to the scripts, and songs aren't just limited to the notes and lyrics. They add in the element of time, and that really changes things. It's a whole different sort of experience. So I don't think websites should just be limited to simple deposits of clean, straightforward information. I think there's plenty of room for multiple forms of communication, and it's all really going to depend on the content, what you're trying to communicate, what kind of story you're trying to tell. So hopefully that answers your question, Casey. Moving right along. Hey Dave, did you ever have trouble working with people that are totally unmotivated or unprofessional? My design department coworkers are unenthusiastic about design and always ask me the most trivial things. It's frustrating. They hardly know the software and hardware and have an unprofessional workflow, yet they want to work in the creative field. They have no ambition to learn all this stuff. I tried to raise design motivation with free creative projects, but they don't even bother with that, so the projects are just collecting dust. What are your thoughts on that? Keep rocking. David from Germany. In an office setting, I think you're always going to have to work with people who have different motivations or workflows. Like, my coworkers probably think I'm insane because I have all these bulletin boards filled with sketches, concept art, printouts, and that sort of thing. So, so to the outside observer, I probably look like a serial killer or something like that. But it's, I think you're always going to run into these sort of issues no matter where you are. So dealing with them, professionally is important. You know, if you're trying to do, you said you were trying to do some free creative projects to get people interested, and everyone's going to have different motivations. That's really hard to do because what might motivate you might not motivate someone else. So unless there's free pizza, that always helps too. But I think if something like this is bothering you, you can definitely be proactive in the solution. And, you know, if people are asking you every 5 seconds for tips about Photoshop, so they're asking how to make lens flares or something awesome like that, then, you know, maybe you're able to make an internal resource or a website or something like that that guides people to tutorials and videos and FAQs and stuff like that, and have all the information there as a central place for people to check out. So, and I'd also recommend reading, if you haven't, check out this book by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's been around since like 1936, so there's got to be something right about it. And it's just good practical advice for communicating with people, even though the title sounds really selfish and all about you, but it's actually just really good practical advice about interacting with people. So hopefully that helps. David, thanks for your question. Moving on, we've got some rapid-fire questions from Jeff from Washington, D.C., so let's get right to it. You're banished to a deserted island for the next year. There's no electricity on the island. What three things do you bring with you? That's easy. Machete, surfboard, and Jack Russell Terrier. Next, what is your favorite Killer Instinct character and why? So he's talking here about Killer Instinct, which is the old school Nintendo fighting game, and I gotta go with Fulgor. He's a freaking robot, and he can make a machine gun come out of his head, so that's pretty awesome. Third question, favorite instrument to write songs on and why? Acoustic guitar or a piano? I'd say piano. I think it's the first instrument I learned how to play and started in the third grade, and I think it still feels the most natural for songwriting. Battle of Battle Modes, Mario Kart on Super Nintendo, Mario Kart on Nintendo 64, or Mario Kart on GameCube? You know, they're all good, and if I have to go with one, I'd say it's the classic Super Nintendo version. You know, we used to play it all the time growing up, and we knew all the little tricks and physics, like, you know, the curve of a red turtle shell, or the way that a green shell ricochets off the wall, or something like that. And finally, last question, do you want an iPhone? Yeah, you know, I might be the only person in San Francisco who doesn't have one, but I'm going to wait until my current phone plan runs out and wait for an updated version, I think, before plunking down all that money. But yeah, from the ones that my coworkers have that I've been able to fool around with, I think it's a really cool device, and I definitely want one. So eventually. So thanks for the million questions, Jeff. I appreciate it. Next, moving on. Hey Dave, I'm new out of college to the world of design, and I love it. After reading an article in How Magazine about salary changes in the creative world, it began to spark questions in my head. As I have followed your website for the last few months and have seen how much you've relocated, how is the salary base for graphic and interactive designers changing depending on area, such as Atlanta to Baltimore to New York and now to San Francisco? Thanks, Dave, and keep the show on the air. It is good stuff. And this is Eric from Greenville. So thank you very much, Eric. I'm glad you enjoy it. And if you haven't checked it out, you got to check out this site that's done by AIGA, and it's called designsalaries.com. And here you're going to find, it's a great resource. You're going to find all the current stats. They just came out with the 2007 survey, and you're going to be able to see sort of a ballpark figure of what you should expect going into, you know, being an art director in Ohio or something like that. You'll have a basis to go by. So if you're going to an interview, that's really valuable information. And just in general, though, salaries are going to rise with the cost of living. And that's not just the creative industry. That's pretty much everywhere. So definitely check out that site. I think that will answer your question better than I can. Moving on, how would you deal with the army of zombies that is sure to strike at the darkest hour this coming All Hallows Eve? This is from last month's Question of the Month winner, Kevin, from Atlanta, Georgia. And that's a really good question. And I think I would play a lot of Resident Evil in preparation, make sure my headshot skills are up to par. And then I'd probably try to gather a small army, you know, maybe just tell them in San Francisco, say there's like a dig party going on and Kevin Rose is going to be there and just everyone will like, you know, come over. And then I'd probably stake out in the clock tower at the ferry building downtown and have a zip line to getaway boat just in case things get crazy over in the bay. So that's the plan. When the zombies come, I'm going to be ready. Thanks for the question, Kevin. And next, moving on. Hi, Dave. Where do you see yourself in 5 years, and what is the ultimate goal in your design career? Also, do you plan to do a follow-up to OKDave.com with the postgraduate design work? Best regards, and this is from Doug. And in 5 years, I honestly don't know. You know, if you told me 5 years ago that I would be doing a video podcast in San Francisco, I probably would have said, number one, what the heck is a video podcast? And then secondly, I probably would have told you you were crazy. I don't know. So I think eventually, ultimately, after I've gained some more experience and have been in the industry for a little longer, I think I'd like to get involved in education somehow, specifically graphic design and education sorts of things. So The second part, no, I don't think OKDave.com is going to get updated. I feel like it's its own little entity, it's its own thing, and that was sort of my portfolio center experience. And if I do another site, another portfolio in the future, I think it will be something completely different and a different type take on things. So if that ever happens, we'll see. Next up, Dear Pigeon, how would one loan indebted, worn out, wine-loving soul clinging to the last bits of her creativity reinvents herself, become locally famous, and land a sweet pad on the beaches of Sandy, California for the rest of her days? Many thanks, Allison from New York. All right, so let's take this one thing at a time. Loans, yeah, I've got these two. Everyone's got loans or debt or something like that. And as long as you have a timeline schedule, you'll be able to pay them off eventually, so no worries. If you do have a little extra money on the side, though, think about checking out. A friend recommended these sites to me, HSBC Direct and ING Direct. And what these are high-interest savings accounts. They're online only, but they're also FDIC insured. And because they're online only, they have a higher interest rate than you would, say, in a normal bank like Bank of America or something like that. So it's definitely worth checking out to make a little extra money on the side. Feeling worn out? Drink lots of water. Listen to the radio or podcast while you work to keep things interesting. I like to listen to classical music. Yo-Yo Ma, he's the man. And if you have a laptop, you're not tied to your desk, move around a little bit. And there's this seat I like to go to a lot at work that's right by the window, and it sort of overlooks a street. And there's a playground, actually, a daycare center where all these kids are falling down and playing hide-and-go-seek and hopscotch. So that's always fun to look at while I'm working on some stuff as well. It just mixes things up. For the wine-loving part, definitely come to Wine Country in San Francisco, and we will take care of that. The creativity and reinventing yourself. Yeah, as creative people, we are always craving new sorts of challenges and things like that. And I would say if you don't already, carry around a sketchbook wherever you go. And if during your commute for public transit or before you go to bed, just sketch ideas out, new different ideas. That's how this idea, actually, to do this podcast thing came, was just sketching out some ideas on the Enjuta on the way back from Embarcadero to Carlin Cole. So, local fame. All you have to do is get like 3 or 4 of your male friends to wear suits and sunglasses and have walkie-talkies with them, and then go out somewhere to a bar or a club or something like that and wear sunglasses and a hat or something like that, and people are just going to take photos. They're going to think you're a celebrity, and you'll get your picture in all the blogs, and paparazzi will be crazy and all that stuff. So test that out, trust me, it works. Not that I've done it before. Okay, just twice. Sweet Pad in California part, this is an awesome site. Check out housingmaps.com. It is a great resource that mixes up Google Maps with Craigslist, and for a visual learner like me, this is awesome because you can see all the different neighborhoods and where things pop up around there. So it's when you're looking for your sweet California pad, that is the place to go. So, I hope that answers your a million questions, Allison. Thank you very much. And we'll see you in California soon, I hope. Moving right along. Hey, Dave. The first episode of Carrier Pigeon was very beneficial. My question is, do you have a print portfolio, and what does it look like? Do employers ask to see your portfolio, even though you have a rockin' website? Do you have any advice on building a successful portfolio, and what do employers look for in a portfolio? Thank you. And this comes to us from Tiffany. No, I don't have a print version of my portfolio, and that's because my intended audience with that site was the interactive world, and those are the sort of jobs that I was most interested in, so that's what I directed my portfolio to. And no one ever asked if I had a print version. In interviews and things like that, I would actually bring my laptop along and turn down the volume on the videos and stuff and sort of walk people through the project. So this actually served sort of the purpose of my print portfolio in those one-on-one situations. To have a successful portfolio, there's a million different things I could say, and what works for one person might not work for someone else. But I think one of the most important things that I've written and said before is you've got to be yourself and be honest, and you've got to put work in there that you feel best reflects what you're interested in and what you're passionate about. And hopefully then that will speak to like-minded companies, and that it'll be a better personal fit for you and for them, when thinking about your career. So hopefully that helps out, Tiffany. Good luck on putting your portfolio together. And next up, Hi, Dave. I'm from Fairfax County, from Annandale. How are things in San Francisco, and how do you like your eggs done? Jenna from Annandale, Virginia. Cool to hear someone else from Northern Virginia area. I'm originally from Burke, Virginia, so representing. Things are good in San Francisco, thank you. And I like my eggs pretty much anyway. I'm a big breakfast food fan. Anyone who's known me for more than 1 minute knows this. And one of my favorite things is scrambled egg croissant sandwiches. Scrambled eggs stuffed into a croissant, sometimes with cheese on top. Delicious, awesome. And I also like Eggs Benedict and Eggs Over Easy and omelets. Pretty much Jack in the Box now has breakfast all day. Is awesome. I'm glad there's one right around the corner from me. I get their buttermilk, egg, cheese, and bacon biscuits all the time. Delicious. As you can see, I'm putting on the pounds. Yeah, good stuff. Next question. Here's a random carrier pigeon question for you. What are your views on merit pay, pay for performance for public school teachers, and how do you propose we measure teachers' performance for this purpose? And this is Kurt from Nashville, Tennessee. First off, congratulations, Kurt. Kurt just got married, and he's the guy that I stayed on his couch for 2 months while I was looking for a place in New York when I first moved down there. And he's a great guy, and we also taught in Baltimore together when we were both doing the Teach for America program down there. So merit pay is a difficult subject, and it's basically saying pay teachers based on how effective a job they're doing. And there's a lot of studies and stories out there about this, and I can't pretend to know enough about it to make, you know, an expert decision. But I will say on paper, you know, it makes a lot of sense. It's rewarding good teachers, but ultimately it's the kids, hopefully, who would be rewarded with a better education. And, you know, but how do we measure that? I'm not sure. Is it through standardized tests or administrative or peer review or individual school-wide goals or something like that that need to be reached? I'm not sure. So it sounds like a step in the right direction, but I'd be interested to see more research in the subject. But I don't know that enough about it to make a say something smart. So moving on. Hi, Dave. Thanks a lot for your first podcast. I just listened to yours while I was in my studio doing a few hours work on a Sunday afternoon. My question is, how much of a motivation is money and success to you? I know the question is really broad, but I don't want to sound rude or nosy. I know it's a question I struggle with sometimes. Thanks again and keep up the good work. Cheers, Tim from Auckland, New Zealand. Cool. So, yeah, I think those things are definitely important to factor in. And, you know, but I think it's got to be part of a whole picture, a balanced breakfast type thing. So money and success are both very temporal. They seem to come and go pretty easily. And in design, I feel this way, and maybe you do, is that a lot of the time, you know, my primary motivation is the work itself and the messages that I'm trying to communicate. I enjoy that, and I think it's the type of thing I'd be doing something creative or design related probably if I wasn't being paid. So ultimately, that's the best sort of scenario where your motivation is actually in the work you're doing. But it's okay for those other things to be part of your motivations. But I think it has to be in moderation with a bunch of different other things like your family, your friends, and your personal self-improvement goals and things like that. And holy crap, when did this show turn into the Dr. Phil show? I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. This is, I don't know. Moving on. Deathmatch. Harry Potter versus Link. Who walks out of the Thunderdome? George from Atlanta. Wow, that is a super nerdy question, but if both are at the height of their game, I mean, we're talking Deathly Hallows, Book 7, Harry Potter versus Master Sword-wielding Link, I think the edge is going to have to go to Harry. He's got the distance attacks. He's got the, you know, Expelliarmus and stuff like that. It's close range, though. It's all over. Link's got it. So I think Nintendo should put Harry Potter in the next Super Smash Bros. Brawl game for the Wii, and we could try it and see for ourselves and see who wins. So good question, George. Moving on. Hi, Dave. Do you think there will ever be children's fiction that will be as amazing as the Harry Potter series? And this is Meme from Singapore. Yeah, so the fifth movie just came out, and the final book came out in this past month, and both were really great, and as you may have seen on OKSamRaddy.com, I got the book on that Saturday afternoon when it came out, and just couldn't put it down. Read straight through Sunday afternoon is when I finished it, and it was fantastic. And yeah, I think eventually there'll be something that comes along that's maybe on par, sort of a phenomenon like the Harry Potter series were. But you know, right now, I think it's going to be something completely different. Because right now, if you go to the bookstore, and even the movie theaters, there's all these Harry Potter wannabes. There's all these, you know, feel saturated with these epic, magical adventures that have, you know, multiple books or multiple parts of them. And it just looks like people trying to cash in quickly instead of standing on their own. So, but yeah, I think there's great children's fiction out there. Look at a company like Pixar. I think they're totally on the right path, and they've got fresh ideas and interesting stories all the time. And they just announced their next movie coming out, WALL-E, which sci-fi story about a robot. Something seems a little different for them and sounds really cool. So I'm looking forward to that one. But yeah, the Harry Potter series was great, and it's not going to be an easy feat to overtake them, so, or be on that same level. Next question. Tasty treats for the pigeon this month. Dear carrier pigeon, can you please recollect the origin of the infamous phrase, you get greedy, you get dead? And this is from my friend Don from Arlington, Virginia. So this is an inside joke. This comes from countless games of Super Bomberman 2 growing up on the Super Nintendo. And in that game, there's a lot of times where you're playing and you want a power-up item. So there's something that lets you drop more bombs or make you go faster or something like that. And it's over here and you're over here and there's a bomb over here. And you know it's going to explode soon and send up fire that's going to make you blow up. But you really want that power-up item, so you go anyway, you take a chance, and it blows you up, and you die, and you lose the game. And that's where the phrase, you get greedy, you get dead, originated. And I think, you know, Bomberman is really just a metaphor for the human condition, so I think you can say it in all walks of life, and it still applies. So really has a lot of longevity, that phrase. All right, so next. Please tell us a little bit about Minor Studios. What is it and the type of work you do? And this is Sam from Toronto, Canada. So I mentioned a while back that I moved out to San Francisco to start a company called Minor Studios. And I haven't said much about it yet. You may have seen on the website there's a little bird flying by and you can sign up for updates and that sort of thing. We're currently working on one big project and you're going to see a lot more about it in the next few months. And I can't say much about it right now because we're still figuring a lot of stuff out, but you'll be able to experience it sometime online early next year. So details are coming soon, Sam, so just keep checking OKSamurai.com and MinorStudios.com, and more information will be coming very, very shortly. And finally, that brings us to question of the month. This person wins a $15 iTunes gift certificate for having the most creative question this month, and that question is, the lights are dim, the wine is uncorked, she is looking gorgeous. The mood is feeling right, your acoustic guitar is in your hands. You have one chance to impress her and seal the deal. What song do you play? And this comes to us from Jean-Nicolas from Quebec City, Canada. So congratulations, look forward to getting your gift certificate soon. And I think here the cliched answer would be something like Eric Clapton, You Look Wonderful Tonight, or John Mayer, Body is Wonderland, something like that. But you've been drinking a lot of wine. That's going to put you right to sleep. So I think what you got to do is you take the wine bottle, you smash it on the table, you kick the table and chairs out of the way, and you just start rocking out on your acoustic guitar to something like Led Zeppelin or Run to the Hills by Iron Maiden. That is the song. You play that. That's going to impress her. That's going to seal the deal. And if it doesn't, Jean-Nicolas, I'm sorry. She's not the right one. That's my advice. So on that incredibly insightful note, that is it for Carrier Pigeon Episode 2. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully it was sort of interesting. And if you have a question or comment for next month for the September episode, feel free to send it in to pigeon@oksamurai.com. Operators are standing by. And thanks a lot for listening. So until then, thanks for watching and take care. Bye.